I would like to invite you to turn to today's focus passage and New Testament reading, which is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words. So once again, today's focus passage is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. Do that to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Well, the book of Ephesians is drawing to a close. This is our sixth and final week of learning about the grown-up church, what it means to be a mature congregation. Paul has spent the first five chapters of this book telling the church that they have received spiritual blessings in Christ. In Christ, they are to be reconciled. They are no longer Jew and Gentile, but one in the Spirit of God. Christ would dwell not in a building or location, but in and among the people. And that striving to be unified and to coexist despite differences would be the way to go. It would bring the church to full maturity, displaying that perfect image of Christ, who is a compassionate, loving Savior, giving of himself for the salvation of the world. And so now Paul has fleshed that out, and he wants to give some parting words, something they can remember as they prepare to go out into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Like any good preacher, Paul had a really good sermon illustration in mind. Yes, I know it was a letter, but he still had a really good illustration in mind when he talked about the soldier being an image of what we are to put on in Christ. I can imagine that in Paul's missionary journeys, in the times that he spent behind bars, he got to know Roman soldiers pretty well, wouldn't you say? In fact, I can kind of imagine Paul leaning up against his cell saying, "Does it get hot under that breastplate during the day?" I can imagine Paul leaning up against and talking to a soldier, maybe saying, "How long until you get blisters wearing those huge boots?" I can imagine Paul asking other things like, "How often do you sharpen your sword? This helmet that you're wearing, is it really heavy? I mean, can you really wear it all day without taking it off?" I don't know if Paul actually had those conversations. It's funny to think about, though. But Paul envisioned the Roman soldier as a good illustration of what it means to put on the fullness of Christ. Paul beheld on perhaps every street corner and outside his cell this Roman soldier who had put on all of this equipment and armor and took up these supplies that would be necessary for that soldier to accomplish his task. And so Paul spoke of the soldier as the metaphorical example of how each Christian was to approach his task or her task to be an individual in the church. So in order to be effective, in order to take on all of these qualities of God that we have talked about the past few weeks, Paul says it's time to suit up. It's time to head out of these doors, head out of these walls, and put on the full armor of God. Now, sitting here in this room, the Roman soldier may not be your first idea of what's a good illustration. Perhaps it's a modern soldier who has just as much suiting up to do, if not more, because a soldier does not enter the battlefield unarmed or unprotected. He or she needs to suit up. The electrician does not climb into the bucket to repair a power line without proper clothing, proper tools, proper training. He needs to suit up. The student does not begin the first day of school without new pens, pencils, notebooks, textbooks, squeaky pair of new shoes, and I probably should add iPad to this. There were iPads around when I gave this illustration before, but now even many schools are handing out iPads. So I'll say that each student needs their iPad. They need these things to suit up to be a good student. Likewise, members of Christ's church do not enter our communities without truth, without righteousness, without peace and faith, the message of Christ's saving power, and the knowledge of the Word of God. We don't enter into the world without putting those things on. At least we shouldn't. If we do not put on these qualities, we will fail in our task. And so, church, it's time to suit up. As we round out this series on Ephesians, we're going to draw a few notes from Paul's illustration of putting on the full armor of God as we too prepare to go out into the world. Firstly, Paul emphasizes to put on the full armor of God. But Paul doesn't say, take your sword and head out. Paul doesn't say, put on your helmet, that's good enough, head out into the world, you're set. No, Paul says, put on the full armor of God, because the full armor of God is necessary for us to complete our task as people living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are now in the era of superhero movies, which some people are annoyed with. I, quite frankly, really enjoy it. I love the fact that now there's like 10 superhero movies every year that come out throughout the year. And if I wasn't a parent of a one-year-old and a three-year-old, you better believe I'd be out at midnight each time those movies were released. I may be up at midnight for other reasons, but not to see a movie at this point. Iron Man, Captain America, Ant-Man, Batman, Superman, Avengers, Justice League. We've got Spider-Man coming out in a couple of weeks. We've got, what else do we have? Avengers Infinity War Part 1 next year. We've got Black Panther coming out next year. Thor comes out later this year. Wonder Woman just came out. I haven't seen that. I know. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned Wonder Woman. I've heard it's an awesome movie. Valerie saw it. Transformers. Yeah. We've got a lot of superhero movies out, and everyone in this room is so excited about those superhero movies, I can tell. So each of them have some sort of an armor or a weapon or something that they have to put on in order to be the superhero that they are, that we have come to know. For instance, Iron Man would not head out without his what? His iron suit. Captain America would not head out without his shield. Ant-Man would not head out without, that one's a little tougher, I'm not even sure I can tell you, his suit, his button that makes him small or large. Batman would not head out without his smarts, his technology, of course, his signature suit. So, even superheroes in today's comics and movies have some sort of suit of armor, and they cannot hope to win their fights or their tasks without putting on their full suit of armor. In fact, there's probably some storylines in these comics or movies where they don't have all of their equipment, and then they fail. These heroes are, in fact, weakened when they don't utilize their full suit of armor. And so, closer to reality, for some of your jobs and your tasks, you cannot hope to accomplish them without your tools or your arsenal or your full armor or all of your equipment. If you play football, you cannot leave pads off if you expect to come out of the game in a somewhat healthy state. If you're an accountant, you cannot hope to have a successful practice if you do not own a calculator. You cannot be a world-class guitarist if you have the guitar but no strings or no tuners. Likewise, Paul says, you cannot hope to be the church that God has called you to be if you do not put on that full suit of armor, that full armor of God. Specifically, if you do not take on the qualities of truth, righteousness, faith, peace, salvation, and sharing the word of God, you are missing something essential should you leave one of those out. I mean, how can you hope to share faith in God if you cannot sense the peace of Christ? How can you share salvation if you are not committed to learning and sharing about the word of God? How will anyone see truth in Christ Jesus if you are not committed to living righteously? This is your weekly reminder that the Christian faith is not compartmentalized. You cannot practice one area and think that it will make up for other areas that you choose to ignore or to follow in. It is also a reminder that the Christian faith is not easy. It is multifaceted, it is multidimensional, it is full of life, and it is full of hope. It gives meaning to a world that is overcome with hatred and violence and oppression and greed. The full armor of God, seen in the people of the church as a whole, is the total essence of our faith that shows life in Christ as a position of strength to be able to overcome evil. That being said, no one said that putting on the full armor of God would be easy. Leaving your home day by day, having to put on all of this armor and wear it all day, it can be a little exhausting. You know, getting back to that original illustration that Paul gives us, I imagine that the Roman soldier garb was pretty heavy. I still remember times when I was little and firefighters would come to our class and they would put their huge jackets on us. They would have us hold their helmets, and it was really heavy. In fact, if I put them on again right now, even though I'm an adult, I still think it would feel pretty heavy. I don't think I'm physically capable of wearing that all day. It's a reminder that being a Christian, living out the gospel, is challenging. It takes a lot of work to put on the full armor of God and wear it all day. I'm really glad that all of my friends are pretty much married off now, because one thing that I really hated about weddings was putting on a tuxedo. I'm used to getting ready in about 15 or 20 minutes in the morning. And so when I would have to go to a wedding and put on a tuxedo that had a cummerbund, suspenders, clips that would have to go in each buttonhole, those bow ties, the jacket, that was really difficult, and I'm really glad I don't have to do that again and may never have to do it again if my girls don't get married. And let me say also, ladies, I realize that you go through that every day, so I'm not trying to suggest. It takes me an hour to put on a tuxedo. That's difficult, and it's not something I'd want to do every day. But the qualities of the armor of God are not easy to put on either. It's quite a challenge, folks. Because fastening that belt of truth, it requires a lifetime of deep study in the Word of God. Putting on that breastplate of righteousness doesn't happen overnight. It comes with a lifetime of consciously seeking God's justice and prayerfully listening to the Holy Spirit's direction in all things. Putting on those shoes to proclaim the gospel of peace is a daily rhythm and commitment that you must live out every day of your life. Taking up that shield of faith means years of prayer, years of meditation and fasting and silence and being alone with God so that your faith may become strong and sturdy as a shield, not flimsy and able to be knocked down at the first crisis. That helmet of salvation, as Paul puts it in Philippians, is a continual process of growth. At times you may tremble in fear, but in those times you will also find rest and assurance in God's ability to save you, both in this life and forever. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the weapon through which Christ will have ultimate victory over the evil forces of this world. You see, the mature church that we've been talking about the past few weeks must spend years and years and years regularly putting on that full armor of God and perfecting it, expanding it as it grows in ministry and mission. In our Wednesday night group, we've been talking about the importance of setting expectations, about how raising the bar and setting expectations for our church, for the missions that we wish to accomplish, for the ministries that we wish to engage in, that shouldn't be intimidating. It should be exciting and challenging that we need to raise the bar in our Christian walk. It should be exciting that God is challenging us and calling us to new ministry and mission opportunities. We could choose to be intimidated by the work that we have to do as a congregation. We could get a sense of despair when we think about the work that we have to do in order to become fully relevant in this community, in order to take the gospel of Jesus Christ in new and creative ways to our neighbors. We could see it as intimidating, or we could see it as a blessed challenge that God has placed on us. And so my challenge to you is to raise your expectations. My challenge to you is to love putting on the full armor of God every day, not dreading it, but instead choosing to dig in and profess the essentials of our faith against the forces that may come our way, to take the Word of God out as our offensive weapon and sharing it with the world around us. Perhaps Paul had an Old Testament passage in mind as he was thinking about this Roman garb. He may also have thought back and thought of the passage, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation." Perhaps Paul was thinking of that even as he looked at the Roman soldier and the shoes that he was wearing. Perhaps Paul was saying that is still our challenge as people of Christ, as people of this new covenant. In Paul's time, seeing a soldier might not have been a good sight. For Paul, it probably wasn't. It meant that prison may have been just around the corner. At that time, the Roman soldier may have meant oppression or persecution or a godless empire. But in the kingdom of God, the soldiers are not messengers and purveyors of evil. The soldiers are us. We are the harbingers of the beautiful new creation made possible in Jesus Christ and proclaimed by the church. I think it's ironic that in the time of Paul, there may have been a Roman soldier on every street corner. You know what we sometimes joke about as being on every street corner in the Bible Belt? A church. I think it's important for us to remember that the church, the universal church, has two options. We could be an intimidating, oppressive, judgmental presence on every corner that scares away the hurting people who are lost in our world. Or we could be the mature church that embraces the world around us, that has our doors open and invites the hurt and the lost to come and be among us and to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, First Baptist Church, what kind of church on the corner will we be? Will we be a church in the same vein as the Roman soldier? Will we be intimidating? Will we be harbingers of bad news? Or will we be harbingers of the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who bestows love and grace on us all? Will we be the church that shows the kind of power that is laid out in this book of Ephesians, power in unity and in love? Church, I think I know the answer. And so today I invite you to walk with me and let's suit up and put on the full armor of God. Let's pray together.